Supporting the needs of individuals with chronic illness means shifting our focus beyond just the physical demands of illness and recognizing the toll on mental health and resources available for entire families during their loved one's cancer journey. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness. WonderCast is brought to you by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. Today, we are joined by Becky Morales, Chief Mission Officer for the Flatwater Foundation. In this community highlight, learn about the incredible mission of Flatwater to connect individuals and their families with mental health support throughout a cancer journey. Mental health support in the wake of cancer. What an incredible mission. This is Becky.
Well, hello. My name is Becky Morales. I am a social worker by training, and I have the great honor of serving as Chief Mission Officer for Flatwater. You know, other parts of me that I love for people to know about are I am a huge traveler. I love getting to travel. It's a big part of how I take care of myself and my mental health. So love getting to do that when I have the opportunity. And I'm also a dog mom. So that's something that's, I think anybody that knows me knows that my dog is my pride and joy.
And right here with us today, what our listeners cannot see is that this puppadoodle is right here because you are in the greater Houston area and I'm in the greater Austin area, but there are storms everywhere today. So yes. We might have some nice cracks of thunder in our background and little authentic Texas spring weather for our listeners.
Yes. So my little fur baby Ringo is joining us today as an unanticipated guest with us as well.
I love it. Well, I think what I'll start with is I would love if you don't mind sharing a little bit about what Flatwater is.
Absolutely. So Flatwater is a nonprofit organization that is based in Austin, Texas. And we were founded in 2010, really because of recognizing the importance of accessing mental health support when dealing with a cancer diagnosis, recognizing that when someone hears those words, you have cancer, that there are so many ripple effects that someone experiences themselves if they've directly heard those words, but also their loved ones, right? Like anyone that is within that person's constellation, that they can absolutely be impacted by a diagnosis as well. And so knowing the importance of that and also recognizing the challenge with accessing mental health support, that, you know, one thing is that there's so much stigma with accessing support, but practically the cost involved with accessing mental health support to be able to pay out of pocket to meet with a therapist is quite costly. Even if someone may have insurance resources, some form of insurance, it doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be easier for them to access mental health services at all. And in fact, sometimes it's quite complicated and costly as well. So we were created with all of those things in mind, really kind of identifying that we could be a resource in getting folks connected for therapy services, and really kind of wanted to figure out a way that we could do that and absorb cost for people receiving that service when needed. And that's essentially what led to our creation. So really, it was a lot around access that continues to be what our focus is today. And our mission, quite simply, is to provide mental health therapy in the wake of cancer. How we go about doing that is collaborating with a bunch of therapists in the community who help us deliver on our mission. We partner with them, and quite simply, we connect folks that are living in the Central Texas area. So we do have a service area of 10 counties within Central Texas, folks that are wanting to receive therapy services to focus on these cancer-related needs. And if they couldn't otherwise access this care on their own, that's where we as an organization step in to cover the cost of those services so that someone can receive this critical support at no cost to them.
Therapists are qualified to do the work they do in the care of families, walking along families with chronic illness, such as cancer, that can come on so suddenly or be such a long and arduous process, I think involves a very unique skill set. Have you found that there's a certain process that you use for vetting the therapist that y'all recommend for working? Do these therapists say, like, my wheelhouse includes caring for individuals with cancer or having that extra layer of skills?
Yeah, it's a great question, Julie. I think, you know, for us, what's really important is that practitioners that join our network or that are connected to us in any way are really aligned with our mission, that they are driven by that. And I think for a number of folks in our network, that is because of their own lived experiences, right? Like they happen to have training as clinicians and as practitioners to provide therapy services. They may have been a cancer survivor themselves. They may have been a caregiver at some point in time. So that lived experience really lends to how they approach their work. We have other folks in our network that, you know, maybe there isn't a direct or indirect connection to cancer. However, they understand the complexity of navigating chronic illnesses and the unique aspects related to grief and loss that come up for folks. So, you know, we always communicate to folks reaching out to us for services that the providers in our network are very skilled and trained in trauma and being responsive to traumas, in this case, medical traumas, and also that they're very attuned to cancer-related needs. So, you know, really kind of these are people that we stand by and that we vet for really being able to meet folks where they're at on their respective journeys and be able to be of service to them.
Absolutely. Now, how common are programs like Flatwater throughout the country? Is it pretty isolated to this environment? Because it seems to me such a beautiful marinating of supporting ill individuals, but also their extended family. And so I'm wondering how common this practice is towards other parts of the country.
Yeah, you know, actually, in terms of what we're doing, the way we're doing it, our model, so to speak, we're not aware of any other programs in the country doing this. I mean, and it's specifically as it relates to cancer. Now, I do think, you know, in terms of more generally speaking, there's definitely some, you know, certain cancer types that maybe offer access to mental health services for a short amount of time, or perhaps for the identified patient. There may be a target kind of population. But typically what we know is that most of those services are kind of time limited, really, because of demand, because of funding, all of those types of things. And, you know, what makes us a little bit unique is that we are here for the duration for folks, as long as there are cancer-related needs that they are wanting that mental health support around, we will be here for them.
So in terms of identifying the families that would be a great fit for this program, do you use a sliding scale or go off of their income? How does that work or is it just referral based, basically an outside organization that assesses that ahead of time and then within the parameters refers to Flatwater?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. We definitely have the opportunity to collaborate with a lot of great organizations, Wonders and Worries being one of those organizations that is identifying people on their end that maybe may be a good fit and kind of then route those people to us. We also get a good number of folks that just reach out to us directly. You know, as I mentioned on our end in terms of criteria, it's, you know, that service area, kind of living in one of those 10 counties, you know, really kind of wanting the support for cancer-related needs and understanding that that's our scope. And then it really becomes a conversation with someone about, you know, what, if anything, would get in the way of you getting this care on your own. We don't ask for, you know, income or, you know, pay stubs, anything like that. Oftentimes we're offered the information in dialogue with someone. Someone may say something like, I haven't been able to work for an extended period of time, or, hey, I've got a copay that is incredibly high. I would never be able to pay, you know, $87 a week to see a therapist. And so we just try to understand what that barrier is. And a lot of times it's given to us just in dialogue because it's already a stressor for someone, that financial toxicity piece that we know is so significant with many chronic illnesses, but with cancer in particular, that oftentimes if there is anything that would get in the way of someone receiving this care, we just don't want that to be a burden. And that's where we step in to be of support.
That's so incredible. One of the things that I have loved utilizing Flatwater's referral service for is spouses of people who have chronic cancer illnesses. And I feel like the caregiver role is such a unique stressor for so many of our families. And in terms of them seeing their role as I'm the person that doesn't complain. I'm the person that shuttles them around and gives them meds, but sees the person that they love having this giant struggle in their own health. I feel like the caregivers oftentimes forget, I need to take care of myself too. And I love the role that Flatwater can provide for that.
Absolutely. I mean, you kind of worded that beautifully, Julie. Like that's, I think by nature of being in that role, there can be a lot of guilt associated with this idea of like, wow, taking care of myself. And that seems like something that just isn't possible, or it seems counterintuitive with being in a role like that. Yet it's something that's so, you know, critical to have that support and really be able to, you know, sort out all the complex emotions that comes along with being in a caregiver role.
One of the things that we hear so much, especially from, I would say more the males from the families that we work with, especially when maybe the grandmothers or the mothers in the family or wives are ill with cancer, what we have heard is them saying, I'm not going to take on that cost for my family right now. I'm not going to get this help because it's one more thing for my family to have to endure. And I love that Flatwater's ability to help support the families through that financial struggle kind of takes that burden off of that person that's afraid to take that care for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, you know, one of the things that there's many things that I love about the work that we do at Flatwater. That is one of the big things, though, I think what you're speaking to of, you know, really recognizing and honoring that a lot of people are impacted by a cancer diagnosis. Like nothing happens in a vacuum for anyone. And being able to access support, I think even being able to say like, hey, I'm not okay with what's happening. Like I've got a lot of complex feelings and maybe I can't say that, you know, to other people in my family. That doesn't feel right, but I do need to let this stuff out and I need to kind of sort through some things. It's a huge gift and such an honor that we're able to offer that support.
I have this is totally a random anecdotal context, so take that as you will. I was at my daughter's lacrosse game last night for her high school team, and I was sitting with my niece and we were talking about how one of the players had stepped away for a couple games just because she was having some struggles in her family and mental health and wanted to really focus on that care. And we were talking about how this newest generation of students are so much more willing to talk about the mental health needs in an equal level to their physical health needs in a way that I did not as a student, or as my parents did not in their generation. And I feel like that shift, while probably possibly annoying to older generations, is so refreshing. It's a dialogue that has needed to happen and move, because your mental health is just as important as your physical health. And I feel like these kids are starting to understand that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I remember as a young person, like the idea of accessing support was just like, it wasn't going to happen. It was not something that was going to be encouraged. It just wasn't something that was being talked about or kind of normalized. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think in recent years, like most definitely, there's a shift happening. And it's great because, you know, just as you were saying, kind of this tending to our whole person, yes, it's physical health and it's also the brain health piece of things. And there's absolutely a relationship between the two, and there's constant dialogue between the two. So it would make sense that we would be kind of nourishing all these parts of our bodies. And it's just something that, you know, up until, you know, more recent years, I think there's, you know, there's been a little trepidation around, or, you know, kind of some fear and hesitation around embracing, but it's so important. It's a part of us, an important part of our body system that is deserving of having that care and attention.
So shout out to all of those school counselors that might be listening, that social emotional learning that you are doing at the earliest foundation in elementary schools and middle schools and high school. We in our profession are seeing the results of that. And it is amazing. So keep doing that important work, because it is working. We're seeing, they're talking about their feelings in ways that Becky and I never would have in our youth. So it's pretty incredible. Coaches hear this and they know, wow, this kid is telling me something I need to pay attention to. So coaches are even knowing, and mentors and youth group leaders, like, this is important. Like, this is something that we need to focus on. I do think a part of that also is related to the availability of the internet now and for these kids to be able to share their story. And then great organizations like Morgan's Message, where it's athletes that have gone on and committed suicide because they were struggling in ways that nobody knew. And light has been shown to that and shared with other athletes and shared with other students. And now they know the importance and the value of talking about that with their coaches, with their team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, exactly everything that you're talking about, Julie, is that, you know, there's so much vulnerability, I think, that comes with this idea of like talking about our thoughts and feelings. Like we all have them, but the idea of talking about them, especially the heavy ones or the uncomfortable ones, you know, that's incredibly vulnerable. So for us to, you know, for me to say something out loud to my therapist is hard enough. And then we also have instances where more and more people, like you're talking about, there's athletes, there are, you know, entities, there's schools that are promoting this really proactive dialogue, talking and normalizing about these feelings. And, you know, everything may not always be okay. And that's okay too. But even to be able to have that shine the light on at this point is so significant because it just creates the opportunity for more and more folks to be okay with then kind of reaching out for support.
On an inside level, how have you seen clients benefit from programs like Flatwater?
You know, that's a great question. And as a little insight on, you know, kind of just my work, before I began working for Flatwater, I was actually a provider, a therapy provider in our network. So I have, like, in that role as a therapy provider in our network previously, you know, I would hear directly from the people that I was serving about the impact that our time together was having on their life. And sometimes that was for longer term, right? Just kind of maneuvering through the complexity that is a cancer journey. Sometimes it was more immediate in the wake of kind of hearing, you know, those words, you have cancer. But getting to hear directly from people about how life-changing and how meaningful having the support has been for them is some of the work that I will never forget kind of in my career. I think in my role now as an administrator, as kind of someone running the program that supports this access, you know, we get to hear from people all the time talking about how, you know, just thank you for this. Thank you for giving our family a vessel to be able to talk about this difficult stuff, to kind of plan for what happens next with our family. Just the amount of gratitude that we hear from people in terms of receiving the support. I mean, it's like nothing that I have ever seen in my career. And it's incredibly meaningful because we know that we are meeting a really important need and a huge gap that exists. And so getting to hear about that impact from those people that are receiving that support is just incredibly amazing.
Is there an ideal time to connect with a therapist through Flatwater, be it at the beginning of a diagnosis, or is there, in that same vein, is there a space that you feel is too late ever to connect?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know that it's ever too late, honestly. I think that, you know, the therapist part of me would say kind of from the beginning, kind of get that support. And I also recognize that, you know, everyone comes to the place of being able to reach out for support or ask for that assistance at different points in time. It's a really unique experience. And so, you know, I think one of the interesting aspects about the cancer journey is that I think there are so many different stressors that happen along that continuum of care, right? So there's some real distinct things emotionally that I think happen at that newly diagnosed phase. There's some similar but different needs that come up during that kind of active treatment part of things. There are some unique and some similar to needs that come up in the more of the survivorship phase. And then, of course, you know, we see the end of life and even the bereavement side of things in our work. And there's really distinct needs throughout that, right? And, you know, so that's why I say no, there is never a wrong time.
So after the point of referral, be it through another entity like Wonders and Worries or Texas Oncology or anything like that, to getting services, what does that window of time typically take?
And well, when someone reaches out to us, we are pretty quick to respond back to them. We do typically say it will take up to 3 business days. It's honestly quite quicker than that. And then really it's around just understanding from that individual, you know, what is it that they're seeking? Are they wanting to meet with a therapist that's in person? Is virtual okay? Are there particular stressors, you know, as it relates to the cancer journey that they are really wanting some, you know, some specific support around? You know, for some folks that is like, it's around communication. I don't know how to talk to my partner. I don't know how to talk to my kids about this. And for others, it's more like, hey, I'm feeling pretty depressed about what's happening and I just need to sort through that. So we're kind of taking our time to really kind of understand what it is that is shaping this person's experience right now and what options in terms of available therapist providers in our network can we offer them that may kind of potentially be a good fit. So we will then kind of offer them some different options and for them to consider of providers who they might like to schedule with. And then they'll make a decision about whom they might like to schedule with. And that can happen however quickly or take as much time as they would like. So it's what we really defer to the person requesting the services in terms of their timeline. But generally, I would say it can happen very quickly that someone can get an appointment scheduled with one of our providers. And then sometimes it might be, you know, maybe a week later or 2 weeks later. And again, kind of dependent on where that person is that's seeking the services and how quickly they want to take that next step.
That's so awesome to hear that it's really based on the person who needs the support. Because so often, it's so hard when you're there and you're ready for the support and then you're trying to find providers or trying to find the right doctors and they have a wait or they're not taking new patients or they're backlogged a couple months so they can do your intake now, but then they can't start support for several months. Well, for somebody who might be in the survivorship part of their diagnosis and just told, hey, you have recurrent cancer, or hey, we have to start treatment again, they might think, I don't know that I have 3 months. Like, that's my stressor. And so I need to connect now. And it's nice to know that they're not going to have those obstacles that so many of us have in the world as we know it.
Right. And the other thing with that, because, you know, to your point, sometimes it happens that we're in contact with someone and maybe we offer them these options of available providers. And then we may not hear from them for a bit of time. And then eventually, maybe it's a month, 2 months, sometimes it's 6 months later, we will hear from them. And typically it's like, hey, things just got so overwhelming, or I had a bunch of scans that were happening, or so much stuff was happening. And I think, you know, that makes total sense, right? That you know, maybe things slowed down for a period of time. And I think the important thing to know is that, you know, we're gonna be there. You know, thankfully we can be around. We want to be around doing this for however long we need to. And so, you know, recognizing people's journeys are so unique and what they're tending to in the day to day, we will never really know. So also knowing, again, to the point earlier, like there's never gonna be a wrong time to get this support, right? Whenever you can get it, we're gonna be there.
So I always love highlighting nonprofits in the area and all over the country because I just love mission statements and missions behind these incredible programs that so many people don't know about. I feel like there's just an accessing point that people are unaware that this is available. So I love getting to highlight that. Kind of in that vein, what would you say is your personal why for why you chose to work for an organization like Flatwater?
I think it's kind of twofold. One is that I believe it is such an honor to be able to witness the journeys that people are on with this disease. On a more personal note, you know, as someone who has been indirectly impacted by cancer in a lot of different ways, my extended family, a number of family members have maneuvered through the cancer journeys in a lot of different ways. For me, most notably, my first loss to cancer was the death of my paternal grandmother when I was about 6 months old. And never having had the opportunity to, you know her because of my age and not really have a relationship with her, most of my childhood and young adulthood, I was very frustrated by that, not having this relationship with her, not knowing her, and didn't talk about it because, as an earlier point, we were saying, just, you know, we don't talk about those things, right? It was all happening inside of my head. And as I started doing this work, you know, kind of in terms of supporting people with not only cancer, but just chronic illnesses, I realized how healing it was for me and how meaningful on a personal level. And so for me, my day in and day out is, yes, why I get up and continue to do this work is yes, because it's an honor to be able to witness and support others on their journeys. And more personally for me, it is what helps me maintain a connection to my grandmother.
I love that. First of all, is there anything that I failed to mention or you wanted to share? Or if there is a listener out there who's like, I don't know, I'm kind of, this could work. I don't know if I want to make space for that. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I would say that I think if anyone is listening and feels like, God, that sounds so great and I really need that, but I can't fit one more thing into, you know, my schedule or it doesn't feel possible, I think it's important to know that that's real and valid. And I think if you know, we're thinking about parents or families like that may be working, that may be trying to run a household while also dealing, you know, with a disease of some sort, there are so many, you know, so many things that are happening. And so it's understandable if it would feel overwhelming, the idea of also kind of taking time to get support to that, you know. That is real and valid. Also, right, I think at whatever point in time someone feels like, hey, this could be a really good thing. I do want to make this a part of my schedule. I do want it to be a priority. That recognizing that there will be resources out there for them. You know, obviously, if you're kind of in the Central Texas area, please reach out to us at Flatwater. You know, recognizing that there are resources and supports of a lot of different forms for folks on the cancer journey and tapping into those when you're able to without regard to when it happens or kind of feeling like there needs to be a specific timeline. I think just honoring where you're at on your journey. Really, whenever someone is feeling as though it would be helpful to have that space to kind of sort things out, and maybe they don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe they don't know what that means. We often hear from people that say, I'm not sure what to expect from this process. I just know I have a lot of stuff that's happening inside that I need to talk with someone about. And that's okay. Like, you don't need to know how it's going to all shape out and what who's going to say what and when. Just, I think the important thing is recognizing like, yeah, there's some stuff happening and it could really be helpful to be able to just kind of have someone to sit with me in the messiness of that.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.